Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, it's obviously Ollie and Dan trying to figure out how to do live broadcasting today. That's why you might have saw the end card come up before anything else.
Yeah, we just pressed every button.
We're here now. Happy New Year. Well, happy end of 2023.
Happy, we're speaking to the microphone, happy end of the world.
Happy ends of the worlds.
I can't see a thing, so I'm going to take these off. It was a fun bit that I was trying to do, but... it really is. And I'm going to be covered in glitter, but that's fine.
To go back to what I was originally going to try and do in my intro.
Please.
2023 is but one day from ending, yet it tried to cram in several of the biggest news stories of the year in one fell swoop. In a year that's seen Vince McMahon fire his own daughter and assume control of WWE again. WWE be sold. The tragic passing of Bray Wyatt. In the last 24 hours, we've had Kevin Dunn leaving WWE.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's just out of nowhere, just in the middle of the show last night.
Andrade potentially finishing up with AEW.
Job done.
We'll cover that more in a bit. What we won't go fully into, though, we'll talk about how it affected the match, was the allegations that are being made about Chris Jericho. Mm. Of course, AEW have kind of address this in a non-response from Tony Khan, but it's still a developing situation. I urge everyone to proceed into those waters with caution and empathy.
Yeah, just it's a very difficult topic in every sense of the word. Sensitivity, patience, and above all, empathy, I think, is the only way to go forward for everyone involved. There's a lot of layers to this.
Bring it back to the kayfabe. Let's bring it back to the kayfabe. And also, MJF lost his world title.
Yeah.
And the devil was revealed to be Adam Cole.
Baby. Goodness me.
I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Dan Layton, the professor, the champion. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button and give us a subscribe. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of AEW World's End and the twists and turns and saggy middle part. And also, send in your Omega chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5 before the end of the show. And I'm putting it out on Front Street right now. The end of the show will be in 58 minutes because it is New Year's Eve.
But I thought this was on New Year's. We're here until the midnight.
I've got to shave before I go out tonight.
Are you going out?
I'm going out.
Oh, where are you going?
Going to a house party, then a pub.
Oh, brilliant. I'm going to a party, then another party.
This is what you and Luke do. You're trying to rail the wrestling chat with your banal lives.
Banal? How dare you? I've got glitter everywhere.
Anyway, okay, let's start with the main event, the big closing angle of not just this pay-per-view, but the year for AEW.
Yeah, very much.
World's End was the title of the show going in. And do you want to relay what you said to me in the office?
Yeah, this is probably going to be the most obvious thing in the world to everybody else. But I had it on yesterday daytime. I'm sort of wandering around, indulging in the bookshop sales. I've got my birthday money. I'm having a nice time. I'm listening to our predictions. And while listening to it, I had the realization about 2 p.m. last night that it's not World's End a la Pirates of the Caribbean, as in we are on the precipice of the end of the world, the new year, whatever, all of that stuff. There's no apostrophe. Mm. It's a statement. World's end. Worlds come to an end. And that's where I realized, okay, this is all about MJF and the devil. If Tony Khan hadn't said it, that the devil story was going to come good at the end of this show, you would have kind of, the hint was there. This was the end of the world, and it became the end of MJF's world as he know it, losing the Triple B and losing his best friend.
So if you were early enough, the first half hour of this stream had an apostrophe in World's End, because it wasn't until Dan said that to me that I was like, what are you talking about, idiot? Everyone knows there's no apostrophe in it. Quickly change my mistake.
Not everything is about Pirates of the Caribbean. Even though the stage, which looked brilliant, by the way, looked like a ship.
You're doing it again?
I'm talking about the show.
You're talking about Pirates of the Caribbean.
In the context of the show. We've got all the time in the world. It's only 7 hours to midnight.
MJF was in Long Island, which I was really excited for anyway.
Yeah.
This was actually probably my second favorite thing on the whole show, the first being the Mox and Kingston match. But MJF's entrance, it's sort of lots of people talking to camera, kind of feels like a tourism board advert.
Alex Queen of the Ring posted that if you are from New York, this is how all New York adverts are made, like for the Jets, the Mets, I don't know. But apparently the Knicks, all of the adverts are sort of this vein. So it was apparently a very well done pastiche. According to locals,
it looked really good. I mean, like, I've seen other tourism board adverts. Mm. I know that's not necessarily what it's lampooning, but it felt very much like that. And it had a wicked script running through the whole thing.
Yeah, it was very good, very funny.
Like, there was this woman who's walking out of a car park, and she talks about how her and MJF had
a lot of naughty words together.
It just did the gag where you censor everything that they're saying. Yeah.
As long as the first couple are legitimately quite filth, do the rest.
And then there was also, they cut to this hipster guy as everyone starts to say, he's my scumbag, he's my scumbag, putting on the Burberry scarf, cuts this hipster guy, and he says, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
And two sort of Soprano-esque gangsters get out of a car behind him. Next time you see him, he's all beaten up. He's my scumbag.
It was delightful. Really, it was a lot of fun. I just wondered whether or not he's re-signed.
You're being glib.
Of course I am. Mm. There's no way that they would do this level of commitment for someone who hasn't re-signed. And it's part of the story. It's going to all be part of it. It adds to all the intrigue. And in fact, the element of him, he wrote a Players Tribune article going into it, which was very earnest. Cringe in many ways, but you can't be earnest without being cringe. And so I appreciate that. That's what I live my life on. Really just talking effusively about how much he's grateful for AEW, how important AEW is to the wrestling industry, how important people are to the making of AEW, shout out Cody, all the rest. Really putting over the vibe of this sort of renegade energy. And this has been, I think it's fair to say, an annus horribilis for AEW in a number of ways. They've had massive highs all in, you know, and they've also had a lot of stumbles, a lot of struggles, the Punk drama, all, as you mentioned, all the different stories that are going around, that have gone around all year, and then also some stories that have and haven't worked effectively. And you can include the devil in that conversation if you want to. But there's something about this guy who, in this Player Tribune article, talking about how he's banged up. Whether that's, you know, work, shoot, bit of both, as is this joyous thing that we talk about, which is wrestling. It kind of added to this whole element of, yeah, World's End. This is the climax, the end of this record-breaking reign for MJF as champ. And it really sold it all to me. So that when that first bell rang, I was like, here we go. Even after a show that had been a bit like this the whole way through.
I can't wait for him to show up on Raw tomorrow night. So he before he has the match with Samoa Joe, he brings out Adam Cole. Mm. And as soon as Adam Cole came down, I thought, I don't know if you want him in your corner.
The fix was in.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, like, as soon as that angle on, because I've spoken about Dynamite week. But as soon as I saw that angle, I was like, ah, yeah, it's happening. It's going to be Cole. I just felt that because I thought I could definitely recognize. Was it Taven? I think I recognized one of the kingdom's body shapes.
Oh, did you spot through?
Not. I just thought that's surely him. And Wardlow. Well, Wardlow wasn't attached to any of them, but we thought about him for a while. Mm. So Adam Cole's in MJF's corner, and they proceed to work. I think a pretty similar match to the Jay White Full Gear match, where MJF is just worked over and over and over. Rather than being beaten up that same night and Adam Cole step in for him on that show, he was just still selling the effects of many injuries he's accumulated and the beatdown on Wednesday from the Devil.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like over the course of this evening, it was the land of the broken toys with various bits of tape and straps and eye patches and all the rest. But MJF, you know, was really, really selling it. And it took a part in the match as well. It was that moment where he tries to skin the cat and then it obviously is far too painful for him to do it.
Well, then Joe also boots him in the face. Well, this is what, because of that.
I was initially like, don't do that. That's stupid. And it kind of took my illusion out of the... It took me away from the illusion for a second, only for Joe to then boot him in the face. And I was right back in the illusion where I was like, oh, I see what you're doing. He's high on his own petard. He's really like, you know, going for it. And Joe's like, no, I'm just a monster and I'm just going to beat you up. So I thought that was very effective, that moment in the end.
That's pretty much what Joe did as well.
Yeah.
It was a lot of working over Max. Even like, I don't think he actually hit the kangaroo kick. He teased it twice.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't think he landed.
The kangaroo kick, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm. No.
I get the...
Bit silly.
It was funny in the Aussie Open feud, but this, don't bust it out.
We're
now.
Very far removed from it. Yeah. It's a bit too on the silly side.
But Joe hit a muscle buster on the apron.
Oh.
So he's standing on the apron and he just drops down and Max lands on the hardest part of the ring. And then, sort of Max starts to work over his arm. He manages to hit an F5 out of the corner on Samoa Joe. Max gets a visual pin, but the referee had just taken a bump. Mm-hmm. So we got a visual pin there to protect Max in defeat. And then after the kick out, MJF goes to Cole.
Mm.
Give me the diamond ring. Give me the diamond ring. And Cole's just like, just takes a little bit too long.
He's giving it that he's definitely got it. And he reaches into his pocket and I can't find it. And then he looks in the other pocket and it's not there. And he's like, I don't know what. And there's this almost fake out that I was almost half expecting him to whip out a middle finger. Do you know what I mean? And that would be the sort of moment. But he had it. And the fact that he then produced the ring and I did have it all along, again, suckers you back into that false sense of security. I thought it was really effectively worked. And I was writing that exact note when...
Well, going into this match, unlike you, I thought Max retains, whole year as champion, and that spot with the ring is just the next foreshadowing bit. I saw Joe as a filler feud.
Right.
So yeah, what happened next was quite surprising to me, maybe not to other people. MJF gets caught in the Kikina clutch. We get the classic arm drop spot. One, two, and then three.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryce Rems... I thought referee Bryce Remsburg sold this amazingly.
Yeah.
He was as shocked as I was.
To the point where it made me worry that it had gone wrong.
I started to think, oh, okay, but how do we restart the match?
Yeah.
Where's the bit that allows MJF for this to be a false finish?
Mm. Because we had that with it, like an all-in when they had the double pin and then they were like, no, we're going to do it and have a winner. So they've got previous with having a false finish and then
Danielson
restarting the
match. Going that little bit extra time.
Exactly. But no, this was it. And it was such a shock to me that I kind of double took and I didn't realize that it had happened. And I have sat with it overnight and I don't like it as a finish.
Okay.
I appreciate that it's just like the Kikina clutch is a thing that is very hard to get out of. I appreciate that Samoa Joe is a monster and he's worked him over. It's just that the fact that it came out of completely nowhere and then Joe runs away. And I understand why. I get the whole point of it. We were getting into the reveal. That was the big story point that they were trying to work to. But after a full year and all that's been happened, main event in the biggest wrestling show in history, you know, that's how it's built. All of this incredible work he's done, the match with Danielson, the matches with Omega, the match with Cole, the matches with Joe, like all of this stuff. And then it felt like a whimper to me.
Mm.
And I felt like it was like almost I wanted a definitive fighting till the end. Maybe he's broken out of a Kikina clutch at one point, breaks back in. Maybe they struggled together. And then ultimately it's just too much and I'm just too broken. It just felt a little bit too out of nowhere for me. And the fact that Joe then bolts. It's like the belt isn't the part of the big story here. I can understand if you liked it. For me, it just didn't fully work.
Well, the crowd didn't like it.
There was a big chant.
That they chanted Bull S-word.
A naughty chant.
He's a Long Island local boy. You've beaten a hometown person in their hometown.
Was that a chant, do you think, for the booking or for the within the spirit?
I think it's too early to say. I don't know about the finish yet. I remember being very angry about Goldberg squashing Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series 2016.
Oh, I loved that.
And it took me 3 days to go, oh.
Right.
Now I'm like, that's one of the most amazing decisions ever. Mm. So I neither hate it or love it.
Mm.
I definitely fell flat in not the sort of shocked way, not like the Undertaker streak way, right?
Yeah.
It was more of a, oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Which I don't think is the sort of heat you want. And I totally agree with Joe running away and like, well, you know, if you're going to put over Joe Strong, this is the guy who's finally beaten Max after all this time, he should really be focused on in this moment. But there is also poetry about Max losing on the perennial babyface spot. So this isn't my take. Someone commented, I'm sorry, I didn't catch their name. But no one wins that way.
Mm. That's why another reason it was such a shock.
And Friedman has always been trying to be a babyface, even though he's wrestling with this idea that, oh, actually, I'm a horrible person deep down. I don't deserve any of this. So to fail on, I mean, I can't think of apart from the Hulk up spot, what's more of a babyface
than that? I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, also, the other thing is that, you know, he's not John Cena. John Cena would not be defeated by anything. Or he's not Bianca Belair. That's why people were sort of being put off by Bianca at that point. He's fallible. He's literally in the ring wearing braces and straps and all the rest. He can't do certain moves properly. So yeah, why wouldn't he not be able to break out of it? It makes sense. It's Samoa Joe doing the kicking and clutch. Yeah, that would probably choke you out if you're in that level of, if your health bar is so low. That point is fair. It's quite an interesting one. I just think for me, the end of that full streak, it didn't feel as satisfying narratively as it could have.
It's like I love the spot that finished it,
right?
But I don't love the finish.
I get you.
If that makes sense. Because I think back on Eddie Kingston not winning Blood and Guts in 2022.
Right.
And it was Claudio who got the win. And it's like, oh, but I wanted the big cathartic ending to this. And I wasn't. And that's actually what I needed. I think that's what they were trying for here. But maybe the execution or the build. I mean, I don't think the devil was always the plan. I think Max was going to lose the belt to CM Punk. And that would have been probably the cherry on top of a longer running great feud. Like my personal favorite feud of all time.
Right.
That Punk MJF. Couple of month run. But Punk left.
Yep.
Or, you know, was made to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had to come up with this devil storyline. And it's a shame to end on the least best part of Max's reign.
Yes. I know what you mean. I mean, let's move into the devil part then, really. Because of the reveal of who the devil was and it being Max's best friend, you could make the counter argument that actually, one of the best parts of his reign was this like burgeoning friendship with Adam Cole. Because of Cole's injury, they weren't expecting it to go as long as they did, and then it just was over. So they carried on, and I respect that. You got to roll with the punches. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth and all the rest of it. And then because of the injury, that kind of got stifled. The ROH tag team angle kind of was a bit confusing. What happened at Full Gear was a bit like nonsensical, and we'll get to that during the course of this very show, by the way. But having it end with them together is making the best of a bad situation, I think. And it is one of the highlights of his reign. How did you feel about the reveal?
Well, I thought the reveal itself, just from a staging perspective, was really cool.
Yeah.
So what happens, by the way, Joe walks out. See you next week, I guess. See you on Dynamite.
I've got a press conference to get to.
Yeah. Are you excited for Joe as champion, though?
Oh, yeah. Are you joking? Like, I think this was it. Like, I don't think this was ever the plan. I don't think the next champ was going to be Joe. But I'm going to get to see Samoa Joe as AEW World Champion. And I think that is going to be... I'm doing the list of matches that I want to see. The only wrinkle I have is because of the development of the storyline with the Devil, Adam Cole has sort of given himself a mountain. If his ultimate end goal is to get that world title, it's now on a monster.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that? But yeah, I'm very excited to see Joe as champ.
I think Meltzer reported that the plan for Joe to win here has actually been in stone for quite a while. Hmm. Not
good.
Half a year, but a couple of months at least by the sounds of it. Yeah, so Joe walks away and then Masked Attackers come in. They get Max, they get Adam Cole, and they've got a chair and they're going to hit Max with it. And they turn and they're going to hit Cole with it instead. And MJF is just screaming, no, don't hit him.
They're both like, oh, hit me instead. Yeah. Hit me instead.
But MJF is really like laying up like, please, no, he's my best friend and all this. And then the lights cut out.
Mm.
And then the lights come back on and Adam Cole is sitting in that chair with his hair over his face.
It was a great visual.
Beautiful, like really great, visual reveal. That, you know, the reveal that it's the reveal that it's Adam Cole.
Mm.
It's the most predictable name.
Right.
I don't know who else it could have been. At this point, I just wanted the Devil's storyline to be over so we could move on from this part of it. But just in terms of pure visual, that moment and Max's face reacting to that, and then, the other four attackers revealing themselves at the same time to be Roderick Strong, Wardlow, Bennett, and Taven.
Mm.
I think a lesser reveal.
Yeah.
That was...
Wardlow being there was fun. Because of all his lying.
Yeah. I mean, did he lie, though?
Yeah, he told us he was in London.
Oh, that lie.
That lie. The real life lie. So if for those who aren't perennially online, Wardlow had been on social media. I think he posted and deleted a negative take. He seemed quite annoyed about not being on the show. And he was like, by the way, I'm going to be watching World's End in London. Posted a picture in London, reposted his partner. I did some sleuthing and checked and made sure. And yes, it certainly was in pounds, the picture that they were looking at the menu. and then, so when he's actually there, I'm like, oh, I love it. You lied to me. And now I'm surprised. I'm all for wrestlers lying throughout 2024.
That's tell wrestlers fits. Do.
Yeah, great.
They lie with their bodies.
Work me, brother. Mm. But yeah, I there's sense in that as well. You know, the real life Wardlow MJF stuff, the story MJF Wardlow stuff, like, makes sense for them to be involved as well. I think you're right. It's a very predictable reveal. But almost to their credit, I think if that was the plan and they've stuck to it, Ali's contract was up, they could have gone down that road. You know, Ziggler, maybe. They could have just shoehorned someone else in who maybe would have been a cool, oh my God, moment reveal, but then wouldn't make any sense. I feel as a result of this reveal, there is probably going to be a compelling narrative. It's more what happens next that is interesting. Why did Cole wait to this moment? Why did he ultimately decide he was going to turn? Was it always a fib? Was it something that Cole did, that MJF did along the way? You know, what was it?
Probably the loss at Wembley. Right. I would see as the incident, the impetus to this part, the Devil part. Mm. Yeah, I it all makes sense. You can't fault. Well, I mean, a couple of years ago, the bar was in wrestling storytelling.
Mm.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel this year has raised that bar. And this makes sense. I can see everything plotted out. You know, largely makes sense. I'm sure there's some weird plot holes. But it made sense. But was it great? Because there was a... MJF once revealed in the sort of inner circle days of Chris Jericho, and MJF joined their faction.
Mm.
And then there was this really good prestige at the end, where actually MJF has got his own faction. Oh, it's FTR. Oh, it's, well, Wardlow was already with him. Shawn Spears. That doesn't sound like that big now. Mm. It felt big back then. Mm. Just the idea of Tully, MJF, FTR being together, Wardlow. Wow, what a reveal. Never saw any parts of it coming. So to get such an obvious one, and, you know, no offense to them, but Taven, Bennett, I love them, but they've not really been presented in a proper way in AEW.
They're an ROH tag team champ.
Yeah, now they are. Yeah. level. Roddy has been doing the best work of his career. Well, not career, but definitely in AEW in the last couple of years. But it's a comedy role. Mm. When over the last month or so, you've been saying, could be Hangman Page. It could be Swerve Strickland. Mm. Like, imagine if some of those people, when they pulled off their hoods, it was, I'm just pulling names out here, it was Swerve Strickland, it was Don Callis, it was Hangman Page.
All of them at once.
Yeah, mm. And they're like, oh my God, all these bits from around the AEW-verse have come together to create this real force, this infinity gauntlet of a faction, when really, it's an injured guy, three guys that are quite easy to beat on TV, and Wardlow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it will get good.
No, I mean, that's a fair summation of it. Though. I think that's probably why there was an element of underwhelming. And I also feel like I could have done with a little bit more from the... what I wouldn't have given for a JR. Why, you son of a bitch, why? Like, all of this stuff. They just were like, God, this is bad, isn't it? They were saying on commentary. And that sort of led it to an inevitability rather than a dramatic moment, I think. But yeah, I completely see that. I think it is going to be what happens next. I think the Devil storyline has been an attempt by AEW, who are still a relatively new company, to try and do something a little bit more sports entertainment-y, to incorporate that into their style. There's no one correct way of doing wrestling. It's why, you know, Lucha Underground works as for some people, right? Cabaret works. It's why ECW worked. It's why WWE works. It's why AEW worked. There's no correct way of doing wrestling. You can paint with whatever colors you want. And AEW have been trying this new thing on for size. They also tried the sports-centric thing with Z2, which has been fantastic for them. I appreciate that they gave it a go. Didn't really like the execution of it. I enjoyed the mystery element of it, but it did drag. I think you're right. I'm glad that we're through it, because now I think we can see what happens next. I think that's going to be the proof will be in that for them.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what you all have to say on the Omega chats.
Hello.
As this slowly.
I've got them. Shall I do
loads? One? Yes.
Corey says, sometimes the right answer really is just the simplest one. I really liked the reveal and it was executed well. My only thing I would change is I wish Roddy wasn't actually in on it. I would have loved an MJF Roddy awkward team up versus evil Adam Cole.
Oh, that's fun.
Interesting.
I really like that idea too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just say this was from Lee, missed from the previous stream. I was excited for the C2 early days given the talent, but way less now. Not due to matches or scoring, but as we were getting closer and closer to someone winning the new belt, I just don't want anyone to win that belt. There's too many already for me.
We'll talk about the belt when we get to that match.
Moderator Les says, a few days ago I started thinking about how the devil reveal won't be this big culmination of something, but a very pivotal moment in Max's entire story. Similar to what Dan said, this isn't just some end, but the end of Max's world. The ending of the match, karma for all of Max's past doing, how it just ended. The reveal was well done for me. No dramatic mask unveiling. The devil was unmasked all along. When the lights come back on, I screamed in actual shock. When I look at it now, of course it was Adam all along. This paired with Max losing his title, banged up and bruised, this is a canon event for Max. Down the line, when Max's story progresses, we'll look at this moment as a very pivotal moment. Or I've worked myself into a shoot, I don't know. But I love this a lot and I think it's a fitting end to the year. Excited for 2024.
I love that the word canon event has very quickly just become a part of our linguistics.
Well, it does feel like it's Max's pivotal. Empire Strikes Back, isn't it?
I've seen it. I can't. I don't know.
The ending of Empire Strikes Back is just quite a depressing. Oh God, this is the lowest point.
Right.
We've got a hands in carbonite.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other stuff happens.
This is his nadir. This is a low point for Max.
Andy Sandbox. Adam Cole told Roddy to trust him from the beginning. The Kingdom told MJF not to trust Adam Cole. Wardlow said he would take everything from MJF. Adam is the one who convinced MJF to team with Joe, leading to his ultimate demise. It was obvious, but not every story needs to be a shock, and this is a logical conclusion delayed by an injury. As soon as I saw Adam shaved his horribly disheveled beard, I knew immediately what was going on, but the reveal was good. Welcome back, guys. Hope your holidays were fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
They were quite nice.
I wonder what Adam's master plan was. Because like you said, why wouldn't you keep it on Max, the title, and then you have given yourself a shot at that title.
I think that's the other thing I found frustrating with Joe running away is that this moment should be the biggest thing on the show should be your world champion, right? And I understand that MJF seconds ago was that world champion and this has been his big storyline, but it makes it look like Adam's goal isn't to be the champion. And I'm confused by that.
Maybe it isn't. Maybe he just hates MJF now.
Maybe.
But that doesn't fit with the usual Adam Cole NXT wants to dominate. Andy continues, because he donated actually quite a lot. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Honestly, the pay-per-view is probably my least favorite pay-per-view AEW has done. The final three matches and the angle saved it for me, and I still did enjoy this show, but a lot of wrestlers did not look their best, and it was noticeable enough. I do not mind long shows that AEW run, because they are usually solid top to bottom, or at least 7 out of 10 matches are great. This was 3 out of 10 matches were great, and a good reference point for why a match-heavy pay-per-view can be hurt. Because this one was rough.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like we needed to quickly make a quick insert into our best pay-per-views of the year list, did we? One in before the end.
Would get in the worst.
I think it would too. Mm. It was not a good show overall. I think it started strong, and I think the final three matches really built a crescendo, and as we go through the show, we'll sort of go through why that was. But yeah, didn't slamp.
It's a shame, because what you've described there started strong, opening match. Final three matches, fantastic. It's 2 hours right there.
Yeah.
If you just made it a sub 3 hour show, it'd be more killer than filler.
Yeah. I watched it live. So I went to bed at about 5:15 in the morning. My girlfriend was like, that was really long. Mm. And I was like, yeah, it was AEW, mate. I know what to tell you.
Goose Egg, Memberg for 7 months, says MJF's story doesn't really need the title. Glad they changed it clean to keep the belts worth intact. Swerve match booking was done in reverse.
Yeah, I agree with the keeping the belt worthy intact is a good shout.
Jack Lloyd, I absolutely loved the show and was blown away and had such a fun time watching World's End. I can't wait for Wednesday when Adam Cole has a promo in the ring and says, who's ready for story time with Adam Cole, baby? And the thunderous boos. Hashtag jam that jam.
I mean, I hope that you get that. I'd love for the show to open with him sat in the chair again. Mm-hmm. You know, that same kind of echoing that visual would be great. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get on with the rest of the show before we carry on with the rest of your Omega chats. There's a lot of them. Wrestletalk.com/support. Send them in there. I'll zip through the Zero Hour because you haven't watched the Zero Hour.
No. I was watching Bullet Journal videos.
Chris Statlander took on Willow Nightingale in the opener. Willow won. Stokely Hathaway was at ringside. Well, on commentary. He's trying to drive a wedge between them. Mm. Well, it was a bit... I enjoyed the match, actually. It went quite long. Went like 15 minutes. But it was sloppy
right at
the start. Got really pretty good for the last final 5 minutes. You know, pounce and... What else did... Yeah, Willow hit this like pounce, cannonball... Death Valley driver, power bombed Chris on the apron. Like, Nightingale is cool. But then she screwed up her finisher and just couldn't get the Doctor Bomb on fully and then had to redo it. And that's how she won.
Right.
Bit of clumsiness. Serena Deeb got a video package. Mm. She was been shown in a straitjacket. And she's like, I'm going to get out. Like,
bust
it's like
it
an
out,
escape,
honey.
An escape artist.
Oh yeah, like Houdini,
because she's submission style.
Ah,
that was cool. So she's going to come back soon. Be nice to see her. Don't know why she's been out so long.
Was it an injury?
Maybe. Then we got the TNT title shot battle royal. Mm-hmm. This irks me.
Okay, go.
There's 20 people in this. Luchasaurus, Lance Archer. Sorry, Killswitch.
Thank you.
Lance Archer. They're taken out early. Mm-hmm. They're covered in tables, so they can't get involved.
Right.
And then it's like, I love Dalton Castle, but it's Dalton Castle. It's Brian Keith. It's Kip Sabian. It's Butcher and the Blade. It's John Silver. I'm like,
you're not going to win.
What is this match?
Right.
And you'd think someone, I almost thought, oh, wow, is Kip Sabian getting heated up here? Maybe just for a TV match against whoever is the TNT champion.
I would love to see it. Good for my brother.
Yeah. Love Kip Sabian. Him versus Copeland as the new champion. Maybe maybe that's where we're going. And he ran a bit wild and then eliminated.
Right.
Like, oh, it's this kind of match. Run a bit wild, eliminated. And then at the end, Killswitch and Lance Archer get in. Big meet. They eliminate a load of people. Trent and Danhausen eliminate Lance. Trent in the hug throws out Danhausen. It wasn't a turn, but the crowd genuinely booed Trent. And then Killswitch and Trent battled onto the apron and Killswitch uppercutted him off. So Killswitch gets a TNT title shot anywhere, anytime.
What a concept. What a fascinating and original concept.
When did you learn this was the stipulation for this?
I think they previewed it on the Predictions podcast. That's where I learned that.
So it was on Dynamite.
Right.
I must have not heard the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
That we just got a Money in the Bank stipulation.
Well, they did it with the poker chip in a way, didn't they? It wasn't an anytime, anywhere.
They never fully clarified that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem here is this is just being fudged in to service a beat you want to do later.
And annoyingly, I think it was, spoilers, fudged completely. It was not done well when they did use the story beat later.
We'll come on to that later. And then finally on the Zero Hour, we have Wheeler Yuta versus Hook, FTW rules match. Hook beat Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler Yuta bled a bit.
Great.
Botched a hockey stick.
Ah.
Hook hit him once and it snapped. He was like, okay, kept on hitting him with the broken part. One with the red rum.
A missable Zero Hour, it sounds like.
Yeah, nothing at all to watch. You know, like the Zero Hours of old. When Suzuki versus Danielson.
On a Zero Hour?
Well, that was ahead of a Rampage one night, wasn't
Didn't
it?
Didn't even get Jeff Jarrett being hit with a guitar.
Exactly. So yeah, not just a totally missable Zero Hour. So why do it? Because it made the whole experience an hour longer for me.
Yeah.
The main card, though, opened up with an absolute banger. It was the Continental Classic Rejects losers match. 8-man tag of Danielson, Claudio, Daniel Garcia, Briscoe versus Jay White, Brody King, Roosh, and Jay Lethal.
Of course, they didn't refer to it as the losers match. They called it the All-Stars match, which I, as a drag race fan, was thrilled by. They were talking a lot about being in the finals of their respective leagues, which means I have to get across again about American sports. And it's not, is it a final if it's not actually the final? Like, but I'm not going to go there. Not on this New Year's Eve. We don't have time. This was fun. This was great.
It was, I mean, look at the names in.
Yeah.
It was so quick. And you just got a lot of things that you didn't get because it was, oh my God, Bryan Danielson in the ring with Jay White.
Yeah.
Blue versus gold. Them two in particular, I thought. Them two and Claudio King, which had been done in the Blue League. I'd loved it. This whole match was just non-stop, fun, back and forth moves.
And really sold Danny Garcia. I thought it was brilliant in the way it is. It made him the in peril baby face the whole way through. It might have broken his nose halfway through. I don't know. And then allowing him to be the one to get the victory, I think, was a really effective moment. And then actually it was the post-match where you had Jay Lethal being given a stern talking to by Sonjay, and you had a moment where like he does the dance to celebrate. This whole getting the dance out, not getting rid of the dance, just don't do it during the match kind of thing to solidify him and help him improve his game has been really effective for me. And then to have him do it, but then immediately like sort of stop because Danielson's sort of there and they have a little stare off. I want to watch that. I want to see more of that. That's, I thought it was really effective.
I really hope it builds to Danielson, Claudio, and Mox go, hey, do you want to join the Blackpool Combat Club, Garcia? Because that's where I thought we were going last August. Mm. But Jericho was like, nope, still need you for the JS.
Right, yeah.
You can't evolve as a character for at least another year.
Yeah. It would be effective. It's working from one little... I mean, even the commentary, again, didn't really put it over for me, and I wish that they had, because I was really intrigued. I was like, let's pull up that thread.
Weirdly, Daddy Magic, Matt Maynard, was on commentary, and Brody King feuded with him.
Quite a lot. This was the first of the first of an awful lot of sort of A-level devised drama swearing. Like, everyone was allowed to swear, so they did. Like, there was no swearing. You need to use it, like, briefly and impactfully. There was F-bombs flying all over the place on this show.
Yeah, MJF swore loads when he was trying to defend
Kurt. So much.
Next up, we got Andrade versus Miro. This was a pretty good in-ring match, actually.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't fully revel in it because CJ Perry was just walking around at ringside all the time. I'm just like, I don't get this story.
Ooh.
And it ended with the crowd totally cheering for Miro. Even though I think Andrade was supposed to be the babyface, Andrade did start healing it up later by hugging Perry and stuff. Andrade got out of a game over, but then he got in a figure eight eventually, and CJ Perry pulled Andrade's arms out from underneath him, allowing Miro to hit the kick and made him tap in the game over.
Yeah, this was odd. The whole thing was odd. I think the CJ Miro stuff hasn't really connected for me. I'm not really into the whole business of like, that's his wife though. How would you feel if your wife was doing this? Because it just feels reductive and regressive and like, are we not past this now? This emasculated because my wife has an independent streak? Like, what? I don't care. And I don't think like the storyline of like her being like a temptress, but she wants to go off and do the thing she does best, which is manage, but she's not really demonstrating how well she is as a manager here because she's just screaming about her infected finger. The whole thing was just odd. The crowd was dead. I didn't know if that was to do with the fact that the story of Andrade potentially leaving.
That
evening.
Did feel a bit Lesnar Goldberg.
Well,
it?
I thought it might be, but if you remember Lesnar Goldberg, at the very least, that crowd were screaming. And there was none of that here. This felt like the crowd just didn't care. Like, they were talking to each other and not really looking. There was a lot of slowness in this match. It went longer than it should do. It was 15 minutes. I think if you shave 5 minutes off, you've got a really great match. Because Andrade isn't, you know, whether or not he's wanted to be there, never phoned it in.
Mm.
Great showing in the C2. I think of that ladder match with Buddy Matthews on Collision. Done a great job, and I did a great job here as well. I think this was just three different elements that didn't mesh, didn't work.
My big hope for this storyline when she turned up at... Was it all out?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was ages ago.
Yeah.
It's like 3-4 months.
It was.
Was that CJ would manage these people and she'd watch Miro... She'd like try and, you know, build them up, and then Miro would destroy them. Mm. And you could see her getting a little bit more hot under the collar watching her husband beat them up. And yeah, Miro would play up that as well. Mm. And it's just kind of this slow, raunchy coming together. And at the end of it, it should have been Andrade. Miro's beating up Andrade. CJ's like, no, stop it.
Yeah.
And she's, brr! And in the end, they just like, in a big Randy Savage, Miss Elizabeth style embrace and smooch, and it's all the cathartic horny. And weird. That's what I
That's
wanted.
That's great. I like that. Yeah.
But it, again, Miro looked still passive aggressively angry with her.
Yeah.
CJ just blew kisses. They never did anything to say, oh, we're actually now an act. Mm. This was just, yeah, it was a weird nothing, really. Nothing felt like it developed apart from one of the people they pushed most over last month is leaving the company.
Odd.
Andrade beat Danielson.
Yeah.
Why didn't Garcia beat Danielson?
Well, I mean, I think at the very least, the days of you're on your way out, so we're going to bury the ever-living crap out of you are probably over.
There's a difference between burying someone on the way out and using that person to put over new talent.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. Yeah. Odd, isn't it? All odd. This whole Andrade business understand. Has been odd.
Rio versus Toni Storm was next. Never really got into the high-level gear that I was hoping for, because both women are more than capable of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Rio just worked like she sold her lower back a lot, couldn't hit a body slam, and Toni Storm eventually won with, I don't know what it was, like a weird backbreakery thing. Apparently she used to use this as a finisher in NXT.
Right, I can't remember it. I was worried that Riho was concussed because she did a big pull off the top apron and it looked like she landed hard and then she just didn't move and it looked like Toni lifting her up was a bit more difficult than it should be. It was like a DDT, almost like Mercedes Monet's finish kind of thing. It all looked very sloppy and bad. I was worried that she was kind of out of it. I think this is kind of this match not connecting with two, as you say, incredibly capable wrestlers. I think it's kind of, they didn't really have much time to build a feud. This is why you can't just put two people who are good at wrestling in a match and have it just completely work. You need to tell a story. You need to massage that into place. It's like you know, marinating a chicken before you put it in the oven. All the flavors need time to develop so that when you do get to that moment, they're in it together. I thought it was fine. I thought it was long. It also was only 11 minutes. It was a short match, shortest match, or one of the shortest matches on the card. Also, can I? I know I promise I won't go too long, but can I talk a little bit about Sunset Boulevard?
Okay.
Because you know when they cut to black and white all the time, and there seems to be no rhyme or reason. There's a rhyme or reason right there. Luther is playing the character of Max in Sunset Boulevard. Okay, which is this guy who, it's Norma's ex-husband, okay, who was a film director of hers, and then also subsequently was her enabler, who writes fan mail. Amazing movie, you should go and see it. He writes fan mail and allows the delusion of Norma Desmond to stay real, that she's still this big star. He's like basically her enabler. If he's just there directing and saying, now put it into black and white, it makes so much more sense. I want a little tweak like that. Just have Luther be the one who's pointing and have him sat by the hard cam or in the production truck or something like that. Do you remember when she just went to do a move and then suddenly it was in black and white and it was like, what? These things to make a little bit of sense to me. I like it very much. I just want, I mean, you've got all the pieces there. Just do a little bit more with them. And definitely don't have Luther objectively interfere into a match to the advantage of your champion and have the referee just not do anything about it.
In full view. Yeah.
And then have the commentators have to bend over backwards to try and say, well, I suppose he didn't directly touch Riho, so it doesn't count as Pat Rogers then. Just don't do that.
Yeah, Luther pulled the rope away from Riho at one point, and then earlier on, Riho just outright brawled with him.
It was more when he put Toni on his shoulders to give her a bigger advantage in this move, which is a handicap match. That's like someone directly interfering to the benefit of one of the competitors, which is illegal. Heel managers getting involved, absolutely not in plain view of the referee.
Should be done behind the referee's back. Yeah. The Toni character isn't for me. I can see that she's working, but there's been too many things like this. I think the Shida match was good, was it? There was one match I remember enjoying. Was it Sky Blue? It was her versus Sky Blue. That was good. But mostly, I think she's actually quite a difficult character to work with.
Right. How like does your normal person make sense with?
Yeah, like how the Fiend, great, amazing character. Mm. How does that translate into a wrestling ring? It doesn't, unfortunately, most of the time. But yeah, fun match, kind of, but never found that extra gear. And that too ended suddenly. Mariah May came down afterwards with petals to celebrate round Tony Storm. Dante Martin was interviewed backstage. Orange Cassidy came in. They're going to have an international title fight.
Lovely.
Swerve Strickland. He was meant to finally have his match against Keith Lee. But Keith Lee wasn't medically cleared. Like 6-7 hours before the show. So Dustin Rhodes stepped in instead. Dustin Rhodes came out and Swerve attacked him. Swerve looked awesome. He was super over. He did an ankle break spot on the cinder block. Yeah, it's pretty devastating. People have been ridden off TV with the cinder block.
Brutal.
If you're going to do an injury angle, if it can be done safely, which I think it can do, do it with Keith Lee.
Keep going.
So Dustin Rhodes is then helped out by the medical staff, but he's like, no, I'm Dustin Rhodes. I'm going to have a match against Swerve, which again, you know, you've already pulled one guy from being able to compete, and now they're letting Dustin do it. Anyway, Dustin goes, has a match, and this is all fine, actually, for me. I would have preferred just an injury angle with Keith Lee.
Yep.
Make Strickland look awesome. But okay, up until this point, whatever, Rhodes comes back in. At this point, it should be Swerve Stomp win. Instead, we got a 9-minute match.
Keep going.
Keep going. Where Dustin was worked over sometimes, sold his crippled ankle sometimes, but then actually staged a pretty hefty comeback for 3 minutes.
Yes, he did, Ollie! Yes, he did! He staged a pretty hefty comeback, which included and featured moves that needed that ankle, including but not limited to a big boot with the very ankle he was supposed to have injured.
Canadian Destroyer at one point.
Why?
Yeah.
I was so angry at this. This was about 3 a.m. I was really, really ticked off because as you say, it should have been Keith Lee, but even if you substitute in Dustin Rhodes, I take responsibility for injuring Keith Lee. That's why he's not here, and I've just injured your legend. This guy who's been in the business 35 years. I've taken him out with one quick cinder block kick. Ha ha ha, I'm Swerve. Off I go. 9 minutes of a match where Dustin looked pretty strong and that injury didn't seem to affect. It took all the bite out of the moment. It took all the bite out of Swerve. Like, it just made no sense. And also, like, from a medical perspective, this is the second show in a row they've done this. Like, where Adam Cole was not cleared to compete in the tag team ROH match, but was going to be cleared to compete in the world title match within the narrative of that storyline. Here, Keith Lee can't appear on the show, but Dustin Rhodes can and then gets injured, and then they're all carrying him to the back and they're saying, you can't do it. And then the ref goes, well, I guess you should wrestle then. Make it make sense. It made no kind of sense, and it made me cross. And then, yeah, just the internal logic of Dustin being able to do all these moves like he hadn't just had any damage done to his ankle. It doesn't make sense. They're better than this.
At least Dan, German Dan, would have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's all I had in the back of my head.
I think he did as well.
Oh, he's my favorite wrestler. It's for you, Dan. Dustin did have some cool moments. Middle fingers spat at Swerve. But yeah, you said it there. Swerve does not seem cooler coming out of this pay-per-view.
And it could have.
When you should be doing everything in your power to give an ad to his momentum every time he's on TV.
He walks out. I don't want to have a match with you. I'm going to break your ankle and I'm going to leave.
Mm.
Great angle. Why'd you cock it up?
Crowd still cheered him like a baby face, even though he was destroying Rhodes. So
do you think that they should just flick the switch and let him just be a baby face? Like Austin style?
I think just keep him being him right now.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Because I think a lot of the appeal is the hands in pockets, bit psycho, will hurt people.
That's what I mean by like an anti-hero. So not like making babyface good guy, but like you're Steve Austin, kind of, I'm still going to middle finger you and stun you even though you're, you know, the boss's daughter and all that stuff. Like,
I'd be curious to see if he's next, like, first in line for Joe.
Mm-mm.
And how that would work.
Interesting.
Okay, talking of how stuff would work and how it wouldn't. Next up, we got Jericho, Sammy Guevara, Sting, Darby Allin taking on Big Bill, Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs and Takeshita. Mm-hmm. So I went into this match already being like, oh, God, Jericho. So bored of Jericho. And also, why isn't this a tag title match? Why couldn't we have had a three-way Jericho and Sammy versus Big Bill and Ricky Starks? I mean, that, to be honest, you could have just had that match. Yeah. That would have made most sense. But that bores me. So I was thinking, well, add in Hobbs and Takeshita.
Yeah.
Don Callis has politicked his way into this title shot somehow. Three-way. Great. That sounds cool. They didn't do that. They did this another eight-man tag that feels like filler on an already long show. So I'm just watching it. I'm like, but people are booing Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Wow. This is and they're booing. They're not booing Sting. They're not booing Darby. They're cheering anyone who attacks Chris Jericho. So Hobbs, Starks, Bill. Mm. And then I know there's this sign in the crowd that says World's NDA.
Did you see Jerry go away?
Jerry go away was right next to him. But I just thought that was because we're bored of him now.
Right.
And I didn't even think anything of World's NDA. It was only after I watched the show.
Because you've not been online for the whole Christmas break.
No.
Because he had quite the Christmas morning.
Did he?
Yeah, he was tweeting all about Brawl Out, and they had a whole back and forth with that lawyer and talking about the handbook NDAs and things like that. That's where all of this, where we're talking about patience and sensitivity and being respectful and letting these stories be, you know, reported in the way that is appropriate. This is all a part of the mess kind of thing. And it's presented, I think, AEW with quite a problem in terms of what they do, because that crowd reaction, you could maybe argue that, you know, not everyone's online, we're not always there. Can we just have the match go ahead and then, you know, deal with the fallout? But this was vocal and loud, and it affected the quality of the match. And then you could see it in Jericho's face. You could see it in the way they were all interacting. And you know, so especially having Sammy get the pin, I think call an audible and maybe let a Darby or even a Sting get the pin.
That's a good point.
And that way you don't, because now you've got, in theory, you've got Les Ex-Gods with a pinfall, a clean pinfall over your tag champs. So there's your match. But maybe is that the most appropriate thing to do right now? Do you put things on ice for a little bit while you do an investigation? I don't know. Like, that's for people with a much higher pay grade than me. It all just made a weird feel to, and the show had already started to drag by this point. The vibes were way off. So, yeah.
And poor old Sting. It's his last match in New York.
A massive reaction. And he got his little moments where he's going to the crowd. And was it Vlad is the guy?
Is that who it was?
I think so.
In the crowd.
And so that was quite nice. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of nice moments for Sting. But it was odd.
It was all weird. It was all very strange.
Yeah. Uncomfortable.
They just went out there, I presume, thinking, well, let's do what we had planned. And, you know, that's definitely an option. And they went out there and they did that, and it got a bad reaction.
Yeah.
So that didn't work. I mean, you know, if I was in that position, I'd be like, well, let's just stick to the guns today. Mm-hmm. Let's see, and we can address it tomorrow and over the next week when we've got more time or whatever. But it, in that instance, that backfired.
It's just proceed with caution. And as we said a million times now at this point, sensitivity, patience, empathy, and go forward.
But yeah, it ruined the match. Yeah. The work rate wasn't good. Everyone was off.
Can I give a quick shout out to Ricky Starks, who has had a nightmare of a 6 months. Like, with the Punk stuff.
We had a great match out.
But this is what I mean. Give him his flowers, because my God, he's really... the stop start, the all of it being shoved into this tag team, which I think he's been doing quite well with, then maybe this match with Kenny and Jericho, and then Kenny gets ill, and now this situation, that none of this is his fault, but he's really, really done brilliant work over the past 6 months, so I really want to shout him out.
Yes,
that one.
Yeah, he is a shining light in all of this. We got Julia Hart versus Abaddon.
Yeah.
Oh, I said it wrong. Said it wrong in my review earlier. A few people have let me know.
Not on the internet. In the comments.
I don't like looking at her.
Them. Abaddon.
Her makeup is physically repulsive to me.
Yeah. The thing about Abaddon is that they have this whole gimmick that it's meant to be physically repulsive.
It's working.
Scary, but they don't have much beyond the look. Mm-hmm. So I struggle to buy into them. Like I don't think the work is bad. This match was bad, but I don't know. It's where I'm also not into spoopy.
Yeah.
So
the crowd they had a fun this is spooky chant, which is sort of like the meat thing, which, you know, you get the meat one, I think, elevated certain matches. I found it quite tiresome by the end.
The
this is spooky was not the reaction I think they were going for. I think that they treated this a lot more seriously than the crowd did.
It's a few train rush stops away from hardcore country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For me.
Yeah. And I love Julia Hart. I think she's one of the best breakout people of the year, if not the best. You know, if you don't count Swerve as breakout star in AEW, it would be Julia for me. But yeah, this didn't work at all.
The house rules was also nonsense. Like the special rule here was that biting was allowed. And I like the idea of house rules. If you look too close to it, it all falls completely apart. Oh, I can make whatever rule I want. I cover you in one, I win. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You have to cover me in 10. Like that it doesn't work.
Force field.
Yeah, that's it. The special rule is biting. So the match should be built around whether or not whether or not they can get the bite in. And it wasn't. The biting sort of didn't happen until it just sort of happened. There was no story involved in that. Also, biting has crept into wrestling massively over the past couple of years. There was a biting spot in the Eddie Kingston match later on. Mm. So is it against the rules or not? Because the referees see it all the time and they let it pass. So if it's not against the rules, Abaddon is silly for letting that be their house rule.
All I know is this match bites.
Hello!
Thank you. 2023 Joke of the Year! it wasn't good. Abaddon.
Yeah, Abaddon.
Wasn't built up anywhere near the level of credibility they needed to be. Sky Blue tried to interfere at the end. It sort of backfired, but Julia Hart got the win with not the best looking moonsault.
Nah.
But she put her away. Put them away. Yeah, So that was the down period of the show. Thankfully, the last three matches were freaking awesome.
We've done one of them.
Starting with Copeland versus Christian. It's an ODQ match. And what it actually was a setup for a TLC match.
It really was. They pull out all the hits.
So the crowd early on are like, we want table.
Yeah.
Or like they chanted for each bit, I think.
And then they chanted TLC.
And then they started to chant, we want fire, after the tables were brought out. And I was like, come on, that's too far, guys. Come on, let's just appreciate Copeland Christian having this banging match.
3 years ago, they weren't going to be wrestling ever again.
Exactly. You've had your tables.
Yeah.
You've had your ladders. You've had your chairs. Shut up and enjoy it. And then they got the fire.
They certainly did. Did you notice that? They said it a billion times in commentary, but like Edge was wearing Copeland was wearing the same gear he wore at WrestleMania 22. Mm. So that's where the We Want Fire was coming from.
Right, right.
McGinnis said it was like, just over a decade ago. I'm afraid to say it was nearly 20 years ago. but yeah, this is what the show needed. The second Christian starts running away and Copeland is chasing him up the stairs, I was like, it's going to be a nonsense plunder match, and it's exactly what I need.
Copeland's intensity was so good. Attacked Christian in his entrance.
Yeah.
Brawled with him through the crowd. What would you call that part of the audience he jumped off of?
The 100 block.
A little, like the top of the 100. Yeah. That makes it sound a lot higher than it was.
100 chairs high.
He jumped from like a high-ish balcony.
I mean, given his neck is held together with fish wire, it was still pretty high.
They introduce each where they had a elongated kendo stick bit. You got Nick Wayne getting involved. And decent bumps off of all of this as well. When Christian and Copeland get a ladder out, I'm like, well, you know, let's just buff it into each other's torsos.
Two rungs up at max.
Yeah. But Christian hit a sunset flip powerbomb off, the top. Pretty good.
Still pretty high.
Then Christian gets the tables. They got the fire out. Mm. The fire extinguished itself.
Yeah, because they didn't do it in time.
But it went really quickly. So Edge, Copeland, got out there. He was going to empty every flammable substance in the building on that table, which he did. And then he set it on fire and he powerbombed Nick onto the concrete just beyond it.
Yeah.
All Nick, that effort!
Nick, who was wearing probably several layers of flammable clothing, so could have taken the bump properly, but just the poor guy. A bit of a hurty bum at this point. Bit of a fire bum.
The one bit of his body that wasn't protected, its head, was launched into the concrete.
Thinking about it, I quite like the fact that the fire was initially set up by Wayne and Christian, but they didn't do it properly. Mm-hmm. Whereas Copeland has the experience. I'm a dab hand at this.
Yeah.
So he did it properly. I thought this was great. This was so good. This was a 25-minute long match. It was the longest match on the show, but it did not feel like it. Mm. And also... I enjoyed the "You Still Got It" chance to Copeland, because Punk had his return match with WWE at Madison Square Garden on Boxing Day, and obviously it wasn't on television, so all we've got are the videos of the crowd, which I think makes it look so cool. But one of them is them chanting "You Still Got It," and it's like this idea that people online were like, they don't know that he's been in the ring a couple of months ago at All In or whatever. We got them here again, and I just quite like this parallel of this. Edge wrestled a couple weeks ago, you know, let's be honest. It was fun. This was so much fun. I was so grateful for this match.
Yeah. So the finish off of that missed flaming table bump was Copeland getting back in the ring, hitting a kill switch on Christian's own move, and then making the pin. 1, 2, 3, new champion. And I love that match. This is the right time to change the title, even though I love Christian. I think he's, you know, top 5 wrestler of the year for me. But this is the time. But Copeland, it makes sense with the story. And then Luchasaurus Killswitch appears behind Copeland. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, oh, okay. This shot that you invented earlier can be used at any point. And Killswitch takes out Copeland. And then Christian comes in and is like, now give me the contract. Mm. Initially, Killswitch doesn't want to do it. Christian says something in his ear, lost in translation style, to convince Killswitch to do it. Christian gets the contract, hands it over to the referee. 1, 2, 3. Christian wins. He gets the TNT title back.
Mm.
That is such good booking for me. I know it seems overbooked, but actually, I think it's perfectly booked. Right. That is the right level of booked. I've seen so many indie shows. The best indie shows I've ever seen have had similar, oh my God, oh my God, oh my, like you want each bit to be bigger than the last and still end with, oh, and I want to see the rematch. Because that's what this did. That's what every match should be about, apart from the conclusion, making you want to see them wrestle again even more.
Mm.
And Edge getting the belt and then having it taken away from him while keeping the kill switch plate spinning. I thought this was masterfully done.
The only thing that I think is a shame is that the idea of Killswitch, the idea of Cage retaining and Killswitch having the belt is kind of a nice mirror, the shot rather, is kind of a nice mirror to when Killswitch had the belt but Christian was holding it, because the power would be in Killswitch's hand. And I thought that was maybe something more interesting to play with than for it to just be done like that. But yeah, I mean, I like I like Christian's work. I like that, you're right, I want to see it again. I think they did a fantastic job here. It's similar to the Cole MJF thing. You don't want to put it in the bin too quickly because it's working. So, yeah.
The main problem for me is that Killswitch should have won that title shot weeks ago.
Yes.
And then every time he could be like, oh, is he going to cash in on Christian here? But then, no. Christian makes him.
Yeah, give it to him.
Give it to him. Surely TLC match for the final one.
But they've done it. That's what that was.
Well, now you hang the belt above the ring.
Ah, okay. Right.
Final match we'll talk about, best till last. John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston. Mm-hmm. The final of the C2 tournament. Bryan Danielson on commentary.
Fantastic work.
Might be the best commentator working today. This was fantastic. Totally different to the crazy soap opera of Edge and Christian we just had. Very realistic, All Japan style. Mm-hmm. Just a joy.
Yeah. I mean, Danielson giving serious sports analysis while also the soap opera element of I want Moxley to win over Kingston because he's my boy. Fantastic on commentary. Really letting an extra level to it. Chop battles do absolutely nothing for me. There's just done so regularly. Forbidden Door, when we were on the live stream, it's like the first match has a little forearm chop battle and I'm like, ha ha! The second match has one, ha! The third one, the fourth, the fifth. And you're like, well, this is diminishing returns. I see them with such regularity that the impact is somewhat lessened. So when I tell you that this was the most compelling and gripping thing, that's genuinely such high praise. And the reason is because it mattered. Mm. They both made it feel like they were willing to break themselves into pieces in order that they win this tournament, which makes the tournament feel special, mm. which makes, obviously, it's Kingston and Mox anyway. That's got its own level of special to it. The narrative arc where we've had Kingston bet on himself, put his belts on the line, and then it go wrong at the beginning, and he has to claw his way back in, and he makes it happen for himself, is so satisfying, so brilliantly plotted. Can't give them enough credit for it. And it's the fact that the match ended with just a knockout strike. Mm. That's what made the chop battles yeah. all work.
Yeah.
Because they were all leading to that moment. I thought it was incredibly effective. Fantastic work.
Yeah, I love the finish. Mm. It was just this sort of flurry of punches between them and an Eddie spinning back fist after 15 or so minutes.
Yeah.
Moxie just straight down. It's a knockout blow.
Yeah.
And Kingston makes the cover. 1, 2, 3. It was a sudden finish, but one that made sense, like you say, within exactly. the overall structure. Mm. Yeah. And just, again, to put over both guys' selling, their selling was very much in that Ishii style, where it looks like, to the untrained eye, no selling. You're just popping up after moves. Mm. But really, you're out on your feet. And you've got so much heart and fighting spirit that you're just going to get up no matter what the other guy hits you with until you cannot.
Adrenaline, yeah.
And that's what happened at the end with Mox getting knocked. There was no more left in his tank. Mm. Eddie just lasted that bit longer. I loved it. It was my match of the night. The only problem is it's for a belt.
Yeah.
I wish this could have been to crown the number one contender
yeah.
for Revolution. And we get Kingston versus Samoa Joe. Mm. Oh,
a belt,
alas,
no less, that looks like a creator title. It's just a bit of metal with a crown on it. But
Mad
also,
King, though, Eddie
yeah,
Kingston.
Yeah, that's true. That's a nice
to find
little touch.
Positives.
He is just going back to being the ROH champ, though. So it's like it's not elevating him to the next level. Arguably, it is, and like you know, in terms of stock, I think we're all on that train. But yeah, I wish it had been. We don't need more belts. I know Tony Khan said recently that like adding a belt makes it mean more. That's a fundamental misunderstanding, mm. I think. And that's a problem that AEW has always sort of struggled with. Chuck another belt in it. Why not? I think this C2 has been the best part of AEW's year. And to close out in this way, good for them. They've needed it, mm. honestly, after what has been a difficult year.
Overall, I gave this 80%, which is roughly the same as Survivor Series, but I've got to be honest, my pay-per-view ratings have collapsed in on themselves. Mm-hmm. So really, it's 4 out of 5, no nuance. What did you give it?
I was probably like a 2.5.
Oh, wow.
I thought the level of drag at the middle, I don't think for me, the end, I loved the final hour. Mm. I loved the opening match. The rest of it in the middle was so either dull or annoying with the Swerve and Rhodes thing. And so that really sucked it down for me.
Me and Luke always talk about this effect that we get. If one of us has been on holiday, the first show we review coming back, we will love.
Oh, I was dead excited for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's been so many bad shows that yeah. I reviewed. I think what was the one I reviewed after Japan? And it was like...
Was it like Payback or
yeah,
something?
I think yeah. it was. And I was like, oh my God, this Rhea Ripley...
Yeah,
Raquel match, yeah. I'm loving. And
was
it
like,
you? Did we do the show?
Oh, we were just like, what? Oh, all right. Okay. No, I mean, that's fair. Like, yeah. And there were people in the chats, and we'll get to the ultra chats now, but like, there were people who did really enjoy themselves. And
really
I
enjoyed it.
You know, it just for me, it didn't... The cohesion over the whole show would have been better. We'll be right back.
Before we get into those final Omega chats, a big shout out to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon. Rue the day, Rari O'Brien Kelly.
I don't have that. Keeper of the Mask Mysteries, Angle.
Angie. Apocalyx, now.
And Love by Charles, Giovanna Passau. Can you tell it's New Year's Eve? My brain is already on...
It's already in party mode.
My midnight snog.
The midnight snog? Lucky devil. But who? Adam Cole?
It'll be revealed when the lights come up.
Thank you very much for your wonderful support on Patreon. Remember, if you go over there, you'll get a bonus exclusive episode of Survival Series. And you want to do that fast because we'll have another one in a couple of weeks for the January one. Ooh, Royal Rumble.
Ooh.
Survival Series Royal Rumble time.
Ooh.
It's the most exciting time to be a wrestling fan. Right, your remaining Omega chats. There's loads. Thank you very much. Luke Graham says, the only person who I feel logically could have been the devil is Cole. However, I do wish the goons were a bit better. I love Wardlow, but the other three I just wish would have been better as it could have given Roddy an extra story, not knowing it was Cole. I like that idea. Mm. Jonathan Hedman, member for 28 months. Happy 2025. I'm taking 24 off. I thought we got a dusty finish and the ref saw the ring and DQ'd MJF, so I was shocked and stunned. Mm. John Tries, Memberg for 11 months. As much as people are mixed on Cole as the devil, I still just love the fact that Samoa Joe is a world champion again. Also, Happy New Year to you both.
Hoppa.
Right, we've got a big old series of chats from Matt. Yes. Thank you very much. To me, this show was mid. I think there were four good matches with the opening eight-man tag along with Edge Christian, Eddie versus Mox, and MJF versus Joe. I did like the devil reveal. Thank God it's Cole and not Perry. I do sympathize with AEW, as with all the news that has come out over the last 24 hours. All the Jericho stuff, Andrade leaving for AEW for WWE. One more talent jump before the end of the year to Keith Lee's injury and not being medically cleared. And the big news unrelated to AEW of Endeavor getting rid of Kevin Dunn, as they want WWE production to move in a new direction, which to me only confirms more they're looking to push Vince out of the company as he's been demoted to a figurehead with no power and now one of his cronies are gone back to AEW talk. Yeah, I think Kevin Dunn departing shows that Triple H wants to make WWE a bit more sports orientated, which is stepping on AEW's toes.
If you could just get rid of those crash scenes, is all I'm asking.
This is a 12-match card that really should have been 6-7-match show. Totally agree. Outside of the Battle Royal, which played into the TNT title match later on, Hook versus Yuta and Stat versus Willow could have been on Dynamite. Same with the Jericho Midcard Vortex match, especially with the allegations. Also with Andrade leaving AEW for WWE, why give him a big pay-per-view match with Miro? Could have been on Rampage or Dynamite. Well, it's a collision match. Same thing with Hart and Abaddon. Should have been a TV match. Quality over quantity. I think a lot of these matches weren't needed and dragged the show. I think we're both in agreement.
Yeah, completely.
With that paragraph. Yeah. The swap with Lee for Dustin was out of their control, so I'll give them a pass. But if this was just a six-match card with MJF versus Joe, Eddie versus Mox, Edge versus Christian, CC eight-man tag, Tony versus Rio and the Battle Royal, this could have been a great show. But Tony has a hard-on for the big bloated pay-per-view cards, making it a mid-show. If you're doing 12 pay-per-views a year, not every card needs to be 12 to 15 matches, and you risk burning out the audience. This is a low 3 out of 5 show. Hopefully AEW bounces back. Yeah, that was always the argument, that you can have these long shows because there's only four, but... This year, it's like 8.
I also just feel like it's like the Oscars. I love the Oscars, but if you go longer than you're supposed to, I start to check my watch and I want to, you know, it's like, or a movie, an hour and a half, tight hour and a half. Like, not that we shouldn't try hard with our attention spans, but you can outstay your welcome.
Yeah.
In
three,
a big way.
3 hours
plenty.
Is plenty long.
Yeah. Always leave them wanting more.
Yeah. Still, is that everything?
One more, finally, a nice little joke that it's two Samoans named Joe as world champions of the top two country.
That is a good joke, Matt. Thank you very much. Hannah Allen, another big donation. Thank you very much. Hello, my lovely peeps. Right. I love the main event. I love Samoa Joe. I figured out the devil was Cole when Cole was there, still fudging fantastic. Cage versus Copeland, one of the best matches of the year in my opinion. Didn't like the 8-person tag match. I've never got the dislike around Jericho. Tonight I felt it in my bones. Love the man, my honest favourite. This felt awkward and wrong. Tony killed it. I'm not sure about Rio in this division we are trying to build. How effing cool is Julia and House of Black? Hashtag lol. Ah, crap. Before I chatted, I didn't watch the news, so I had no idea. Oh, wow.
It does happen that
so,
way.
So, you didn't. I assume you don't know anything of the Jericho stuff.
Yeah. We've spoiled the party.
I always watch the media after the pay-per-view, so I heard the question, this breaks my heart, hand to chest, one of my heroes. I'm starting training in a fortnight. So much love, Big Sad. Well, good luck, Hannah, yeah, with the training.
Yeah, that's massive.
That's a great New Year's resolution.
I'm jealous of you.
2024, still with Hannah here. 2024, diverse characters in the women's division. There's a lady Swerve. She's probably Britt Baker. Just showcase talent. I promise it's the same as the men. Push Swerve to the moon. Joe, Swerve is the match of 2024. Promise. Get Dalton Castle weekly. As a fan, this sucked. Not in the fun way. It made me so mad. Like Dan, I love Dustin, but what the F? Also, Swerve kept saying, stop wasting my time. This felt filler. I didn't like that. Give women more time. Idiots. Totally agree with Ollie. Someone like Kip has earned that win. A royal, feed him more. This is just... I feel like you've just...
Feelings.
By the way, started the celebrations early.
Yeah, a little bit.
By the way, thank you for the content of all the channels. You'll know I love you guys a lot. I will try to let you know that as much as possible. You've got me through a tough year. I know there's always something. I think I love you all more than wrestling, to be honest. Lots of love. Thank you very much, Hannah. Happy New Year to you.
Reciprocated.
Kid Cudi. Man, for all the good the C2 did in changing the feeling around AEW, this pay-per-view in Jericho in the court of public opinion has stolen what little juice AEW had going into the new year. It was a 6 out of 10 for me. This needed to be a home run, and it was a double.
I don't know that specific sports reference. I promise I'll try.
It's only two parts.
Only two of the diamonds.
Yes.
Gotcha. I think that's fair.
Caleb M, member for 26 months. On a positive note, we have more women's matches.
Two of them?
Yeah, but...
Two whole ones. They weren't great, good. But that's not the point.
No, it's the women's fault. This is what happens.
Did you see the clip they made going around social media? I'll show you it later.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan. He of Dustin Rhodes fandom. Hello, WrestleTalk. I wish you all a happy start into 2024. Thank you for it all. I personally enjoyed Eddie and Joe being champion. And of course, Dustin Rhodes being able to show everyone that he is still legit business.
Do it on Rampage then, but with not Swerve.
Not too keen about the devil, Dan says. Evan Buckley, happy new year, lads. Just wondering, was I the only one that thought the MJF Joe match would restart because MJF's arm landed on his leg? Took me out of it for a moment. I'm used to MJF restarts in matches. Dad jokes incoming. See you next year.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I thought that too. Mm. Not because of the leg, but I was like, surely
it's my false finish. Yeah.
Oh, Kingslayer. Do you know that joke?
No.
One of, this was a report way back when, Seth Rollins, his entrance music, before it had Burn It Down.
Yeah.
They tried out a few different options.
Right.
And one of them was, off the back of the Triple H feud, Oh, Kingslayer.
What?
I know.
Oh, Kingslayer.
Well, that's what I would just say. Kingslayer. At the start of every
match.
But
it sounds fierce.
This just felt like the most underwhelming pay-per-view AEW has ever done. There was a stretch of 5 matches that felt meh. I was just ? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed this a lot more than other people, but...
I think Send Them Home Happy
is the least best.
Like, the final run of matches was good.
Bad Boy Dino. Went to the show last night and Edge dove right in front of me.
Whoa, you were in the 100!
100! Also, if Adam Cole became friends with MJF just to get closer to the belt, why did he pay Samoa Joe to beat Max? How does this make his way to the title any easier?
This is why it's a let it play out thing for me.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But that is a big question.
Yes.
I'm Just Marcus says, I was pretty happy with the reveal and I felt like it was the only real option that would have made sense. In fact, the only thing I didn't like on this pay-per-view was the Christian twist that felt kind of dumb. Maybe it would have been better if they set it up more.
Yeah, what you were saying, if it had been for a while.
Christoph, hey guys, I was there live. It was amazing for the first and last 3 matches. The crowd had a hard time getting into a lot of it, as did I. but as soon as Metalingus hit, my entire section was on their feet. 6.5 out of 10 pay-per-view, Swerve should have destroyed Dustin.
Yeah, I think that moment of Metalingus, that like, bah, 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 is always going to pump you up. You needed that.
Sammy Boy, I hope MJF returns as an evil person. The story should be, I was right. Friends make you weak. And Long Island, you said you would riot, you did nothing. Cole, I'm going after everything you love. MJF did lose a bit of his shine, which made him different.
I do like that. The idea that he made a friend and the friend betrayed him, so now he doubles down on what he was before. That for me is very narratively satisfying.
Mm.
But I think take time with it.
Yeah. Do that. I don't think you have to make him a heel. Ryan V. I was at the show last night and it was awesome. It delivered on everything. Definitely got my money's worth. I honestly hope this is a turnaround for AEW for 2024, as last night's crowd was packed. Took me an hour to get in. Happy holidays, mates.
Yeah, it was good. It was a full crowd. It was nice to see.
I love how some people are like, oh, what a bad end to this year. And other people are like, whoa, yeah, 2024.
Yeah.
Juan Perez has been a member for 27 months. Good show, clap, they say. Kirk Hardiman, member for 27 months too. Wasn't able to watch the show. Happy to see Joe as champion, but the Christian losing the title and winning the title back was stupid.
Yeah.
Well, I really liked it. Our hot tag to you.
Okay. No problem. The Guilty Hat says, not sure what to think of the devil stuff, so going to sit on that, but I am so excited for what happens next with Samoa Joe. He is such an amazing wrestler. Give him Hangman and Swerve in a triple threat. Ospreay at Wembley, give him everything. Joe, Joe, Joe. I mean, yeah, the roster of... I forgot Ospreay. Because he's signed, but not really debuted, so yeah.
Danielson Moxley.
Yeah,
there's plenty of people he hasn't fought.
Golden Knight fan 84. Hey, Ollie and Prof, just finished watching World's End, and to say I'm pissed off with that devil reveal is an understatement. It's bad, if not worse, than the higher power reveal, and overall the pay-per-view sucked. It saddened me to write that as an AEW fan. I don't think it was quite the levels of It's Me, Austin.
Oh, personally. I'm sorry, Golden Knight.
Yeah.
I don't think it was anywhere near that bad.
Yeah. It is frustrating though when you're excited for something and it doesn't pop off. Continues. I was there for the show. My first AEW show was great overall. I got to start a Wheelie Utah chant on 0 Hour. Seeing Eddie versus Mox was everything. The ending was a shock, but MJF being the one who screws people over was the one who got screwed last night. Mm. Chickens come home to roost. Whipster 180 says, I want to highlight Eddie Kingston's year. He beat Kenta for a world title in Japan. Don't tell me it isn't a real title. He competed in the G1. He was in Stadium Stampede at All In. He overcame Claudio and won the ROH title in New York. He hijacks the Continental Classic and creates the American Triple Crown, gets revenge on Brian Danielson, and finally gets a win on John Moxley to win the Triple Crown. Eddie doesn't need the world title. Would be nice, but give him his flowers for an amazing 2023 run.
Isn't it crazy, though, that you say an amazing 2023 run, but in AEW programming, really only the last couple of months.
Yeah.
He's been missing for the whole year. It's such a waste of his potential.
I think AEW often rely on that full body of work thing. There's a lot of... You've watched all of this, right? Mm. Which, you know, is to their credit sometimes and works against them other times.
I'm also going to say, and this is probably just going to make it chatted in all the time now, I hate the phrase, give them their flowers.
Oh, okay.
I hate it.
Oh, take the flowers away.
No. Give him recognition.
No,
the sentiment still remains.
No. No recognition, no flowers.
I particularly hate it when it's done with clap emojis after
each. Give him the flowers. This is a personal attack on me, isn't it? I actually don't do the flowers thing.
That you do it is...
I say props. Give him props.
Props is good.
Evan Reich says, the whole time I was watching the show, man, it's nice seeing people in the crowd. And then they do questionable booking. I enjoy AEW, but I feel like you can really tell TK started the company with the first 3 years booked and he's been winging it since. I mean, like, this is the thing with booking a weekly show. It's difficult to consistently...
Three weekly show
without a team. Like, he does it all himself. I know he leans on Danielson at some times, but like... It's a difficult job. You know, we hold them to account because I hold AEW to the standard AEW set for itself, personally.
Yeah.
But it is hard. It's tricky. So, you know, give yourself a holiday once in a while, Tony. Get a team.
Mm-hmm.
Misha Sumra says, my pitch, devil-aligned Wardlow gets reheated by this angle, beats Joe. MJF returns and goes for revenge on Cole. Meantime, Swerve versus Kingdom for the Triple Crown belts. Happy New Year to all the WrestleTalk pots unknown. No roles barred, chaotic, neutral gang, and to the entire SWAF nation.
Oh, thank you very much, Misha. Yeah, God, Swerve versus Kingston.
Mm.
That sounds tasty.
Two sort of violent anti-heroes. Mm. Yeah. Zeref has been a member for 28 months. Hello, it's me, the AW fan who loves all the belts. More belts. Let's go, Eddie. Well, I'm glad for somebody. Brian Doyle says, thoughts on Tony Khan saying AEW has the best safety record in wrestling when this man also said his safety was at risk, not to mention other incidents where safety was at risk, such as Matt Hardy at All Out 2020. Hypocritical much. I think Tony Khan could do with a little bit of media training, personally. Not just because he does the same, he answers questions weirdly and rattles along and stares down lens and does weird things with bottles of water and all the rest of it and hugs like a you know, uncomfortable cousin. But I think because as the CEO of a company, as the public figurehead of a company of this magnitude, with these contracts, with all of the rest, with this much attention, he needs to be able to look in control of the ship, answer questions sort of respectfully, honestly, but not, I'm not saying keep them at bay, but I am saying sort of like answer the question with giving us the confidence that you're going to do something about it. He sort of went off on one talking about we've got the most best safety record in the whole country, like all that. It was giving that energy, just sort of saying that, yeah, no, we take things seriously here. Our wrestlers' safety is of the utmost importance to us, so, you know, leave it with us, kind of thing. That's all you need to say. I think he could do with that personally.
Or just change the public face of the company.
Yeah.
Get like, you know, Bryan Danielson would be perfect.
And but a little fine jar.
Yeah, if he was the, like a Nigel McGuinness or someone, if you've got a wrestler, like you've got Triple H, I don't think people would say the same stuff to Triple H and Triple H would shut it down better.
It's also interesting because the wrestling journalism sphere, this is a conversation for a whole other time, but it's not New Year's Eve, is still kind of new. These media scrums are still kind of new.
It was USA Today that asked some of the questions.
Was it? Oh, I didn't know that. Mm. Okay, well, and they did ask them three times specifically. So they were doubling down on it, which is a good thing because you feel emboldened in the crowd. You know, you're supposed to hold people to account. Are these media scrums in character for a bit of story? Are they for a bit of a laugh? Are they serious for, you know, asking Triple H about CM Punk? Are they there to ask, you know, Tony Khan about the safety record of AEW? Are they there to ask about, you know, what we're going to do with the takeover going forward? Mm. Like, I think we're trying to figure out what they are. It's a difficult line to walk, I think, sometimes. Zach Robinson Music has been a member for 31 months. Happy New Year, Rest Talk fam. Hope you all have a wonderful 2024 and have a great night, however you choose to celebrate tonight.
You too, Zach.
Whipster180 has been a member for 4 months. Hope you all got to enjoy your holidays. Early Happy New Year for you all at WrestleTalk. Thanks for the content. Looking forward to a positive 2024. Travis Mantlo says, my 2024 resolution is to go to a WrestleTalk watch party alone. Look forward to meeting you sometime next year. I'm a big fan of going to things on your own. Think of the friends you'll make along the way. And you never know, you might end up on Monday Night Raw twice. And Mod Gaz says, wishing everyone in the chat and at the WrestleTalk offices a very happy and successful 2024. Thank you, Gaz, very, very much.
Yes, have the flowers, everybody. Is that how the expression works?
It almost certainly is.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us here today on New Year's Eve, no less.
Tight hour and a half. Well, tried my best.
We'll see. We both talked too long. It was a busy show. But yeah, have a wonderful New Year's tonight, however you're going to celebrate it. And we've got no videos tomorrow on any wrestling channels, actually. No. But we'll be back on Tuesday in the wake of day one.
Day one! Probably my third late night in a row.
So I don't know how to end the stream properly.
Oh, I've got you covered. Thanks so much for joining us. Be good to yourselves and each other. Jam that jam. Jam and then I press jam. This button here.
Jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.